Hello there. Yes, and welcome along to this, the latest edition of the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast, where we talk about all things Whitehaven Rugby League and wider rugby league. Brought to you by the Whitehaven Rugby League Independent Supporters Trust, Trust in Haven. So, yeah, so interesting part of the season. Still a bit of business to be conducted in terms of the season, and we'll talk about that. But also delighted to have along as our guest for this edition of the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast is Whitehaven lad, born and bred, top Super League player until quite recently, but now better known for his broadcasting, for his media stuff. It's Kyle Amor. Welcome along, Kyle.
Yeah, thank you, Dave, and nice little intro from you there as well. So yeah, no, delighted to be. To be a part of this one for you, pal.
All right, great. Yeah. So, as I say, we'll talk a bit about Whitehaven. You chip in and just give us your thoughts on that. But we will focus again on what's happening in a month, 4 week this weekend. It's your absolute last appearance on the field, I believe. Just looking through the media, you're going out on a high, yeah. But anyway, we'll speak more about that as it is. I say, Carl, welcome along. We'll talk first about the Whitehaven and the Championship situation. You've obviously commentated on games in the past for Whitehaven. You're a Whitehaven lad, so you'll know the score. Whitehaven struggled along all season, really. Been a difficult 2023 for the club, but they've got two games left. They probably need 1 point to ensure that they avoid the dreaded drop. That's the way I see it. Anyway, what's your thoughts on Whitehaven and Whitehaven's season, Kyle, from down there in St. Helens?
Well, look, first of all, Dave, I think you've already alluded to it. They found themselves in a position where there's two games to go and they need a point. And I think, you know, even every most optimistic Whitehaven fan probably accepts that that point isn't going to come against Toulouse on the final day of the season. So it really does boil down to Swinton this Sunday. They found themselves in that position. Look, whether we like it or not, you know, but by hook or by crook or whatever reason, you tend to find yourself in a position where you're finishing the league table on merit, you know, and for whatever reason, the club, you know, have found themselves in this position where they're in a relegation scrap away from home in a massive, massive game, probably the biggest game in the club's recent history for some time, you know, that the real kind of blow felt when, the way they lost that game against Barrow, I think that was a huge game that got away from them, and yeah, look, they are where they are, and it is what it is. Hopefully, they can turn up on Sunday, and obviously Swinton as well. They're scrapping for survival, so it really is all on the line this weekend. But hopefully, John Tigoli can get the remaining troops he has left. They've lost some quality players along the way, haven't they, through injury and whatnot. And the very nature of the Championship, Dave, as well, it's an uncompromising and difficult kind of league because, you know, you look at the results that Haven have had, you know, when they've beaten York and they've beaten Sheffield, and it almost, it doesn't follow the pattern, does it, of what you would expect. And so, look, it's a very unpredictable league. And like I say, you know, sometimes when they've gone on and knocked these top tit sides off, they haven't really been able to kick on for one reason or another. So, you know, again, look, they are where they are, and look, I just hope that they can get the win this weekend and keep, you know, a great club in the Championship.
Yeah, absolutely, Kyle. I mean, one of the positives for me is that. One of the positives is that Jonty and the people around the team seem to be maintaining a very positive stance on things, taking a positive view of things. Hopefully, you know, first thing is they'll go into Sunday's game with a couple of players back, like Callum Phillips and Carl Dixon, who are two important players. Fair enough, they haven't had a lot of game time, but they can be game winners on the day. So let's hope they're fit and ready to go on Sunday. So as I say, positive around the club. It's one or two important players back. So yeah, we've just got to go there, give it our best shot. We have beaten some good teams this year, but at the same time, we've lost games at Newcastle and at Keighley, which really were there for the taking, and we didn't do it. So we've got to make sure we don't repeat them mistakes on Sunday. So big game. It's 3 o'clock. It's at Sale Rugby Union, Earwood Road in Sale on Sunday. There's going to be lots of Whitehaven supporters there from what I hear. I'm travelling down, meeting up with Paul Stubbs and a few other Whitehaven supporters down there. So plenty of support. Let's get behind the team. Let's hope they find that form which we know they're capable of. And yes, put the season to bed on Sunday. Yeah. Okay then, Kyle. So as I say, you just sort of moving on from that. Thanks for your comments on that. This year's been it's been the year where you've sort of really stepped up and sort of grasped the media side of the game. Was that something you were always looking to do? You know, get into media, get into sort of match commentary, stuff like that.
Yeah, look, Dave, I'd always had an interest in doing that. I think when, probably about 12 years ago at my time in Wakefield, I would often go into Radio Leeds, which was just outside of Elland Road, and do a few little sort of rugby shows and podcasting and before podcasts were such a thing. They had like a little 1 hour radio show, 6 till 7, that was just for Radio Leeds, and a guy called James Dayton, Richard Stead as well. I used to just go down there. It wasn't too far from my house. And look, I'm a huge nerd about our game. I absolutely love it. I love everything about it. I love everything it's been able to provide and give me opportunities in. So, and it gives me energy as well, Dave. And I think that it's important, whatever you do, that you do something that gives you a bit of energy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that was something that I started doing a little while back. And then, as things progressed, I always kept, anytime the media guy would be looking for players, it's not for all players, it isn't, some players don't like it, some players are not even really bothered about it, some players just like to play the game as a job and just go home and switch off from it, and that's absolutely fine as well, but I wasn't one of them. I would always be watching every game, reading every rugby paper. I became obsessed with my sport and my craft, really. So, and that sort of paid dividends in the end, because that sort of passion and enthusiasm for wanting to try and get to the very top and succeed in all the areas that I possibly could, given my limited talent, that I then transitioned that into going after the media side of the game. And it's took a little while. And I think about 2 years ago, the first Channel 4 game, I got my kind of big break, if you want to call it that. Got to be able to call a game on Channel 4. And then after that, really, it just kind of, went from there. So I'm now involved, I got to commentate on a World Cup, all throughout a World Cup final for Fox Sport with Andrew Vost, which was amazing. You think, obviously, that game would have been beamed all over the world, really.
Yeah.
To have, I always say, Dave, that the players are the ones who write the story. I just get to help read it out loud to everybody. So you get to watch it from the best seat in the house, and it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I absolutely love it. And I just, again, it gives me such, it almost gives me the same buzz, particularly towards the end, Dave, when I'm kind of struggling in my playing career. It gives me a similar buzz than what it was when you played, when you're in your peak of performance and you're at the right age and you knew every week you were going to go out there and deliver. I kind of get that same feeling now. So, it's not an easy job. Anybody who's worked in commentary or media, a lot of people just think, it looks easy. You just get to, pick up a microphone and go. But there's a lot of detail, a lot of preparation goes into it. and perhaps stuff that that's not many people see. So, but look, you know, as long as my phone keeps ringing and networks are wanting me to come and work for them, then that's a little reassurance that I'm doing okay. So,
You've perhaps came along at just this part of your career has come along at just the right time, because I mean, a few years ago we had Sky, a little bit of BBC, but not much else. Now there's other broadcasters coming on board. I think, in my opinion, I also enjoy listening and watching Channel 4's coverage. I think they do a really good job. So, I'd say a case of being. You've been in the right place at the right time, and there's been opportunities which you've grabbed with both hands there. So fair play to you, Kyle.
No, thanks, mate. Yeah, no, like I say, I just think that life's all about that, isn't it? Really, though, Dave. Without getting too sort of deep on a Friday morning, life's all about being in the right place, taking your opportunities, grabbing your moments, and you know. But again, though, these things don't just fall into your lap. You've got to
work for
You've got
them,
to do
yeah.
a lot of stuff along the way. I mean, I was doing all sorts of, you know, commentary stuff that nobody was even seeing really before I even got to that. So again, I do agree with you. You've got, you know, things have got to come together at the right time. A bit like, you know, that team that I played in with St. Helens. You know, at the time we were ready for a period of dominance. We didn't know it. We felt it coming. We felt there was something there. We felt we had a special group, but I don't think we'd have thought that we'd have gone on and won four in a row.
You know,
now the guy's on the cusp of five in a row. Do you know what I mean? But
yeah.
Again, that was a combination of some quality players at the right age, the internationals playing regularly at the right moment, at the right time, and then all coming together under guidance of a new young Australian coach and Justin Albrook. So, yeah, sometimes Dave, things just fit together. But before all that, you know, there was a lot of seasons where we didn't quite make it. So just like with the commentary stuff, there was quite a couple of seasons that I was commentating on stuff and working in media that wasn't getting seen. So,
I say you started off at Whitehaven, you went to Leeds, and then via Wakefield to St. Helens. Where, as you say, things really took off. Looking back over that time, Kyle, what's your standout memories?
Oh, I think, well, they all have to come from, probably, look, most of them come from within St. Helens. You know, I was very, very lucky. You know, winning four grand finals, a Challenge Cup, and a few League Leader Shields along the way. It's very difficult to sort of, probably the try at Wembley for me, the last try at Wembley that kind of secured our, you know, the Challenge Cup hadn't been won by Saints for 13 years. And then, that, you know, scoring that try, we all knew that was it. It was ours, you know. And we'd felt short 2 years earlier against Warrington in a game that we should have won. We, you know, Warrington had a patched up side. They had, you know, they had players playing all sorts out of positions, and they were injured, and we'd won 14 in a row, and we should have won that game, but we didn't. Credit Warrington, they hit us with a sucker punch, and we didn't know how to handle it. We didn't cope with it very well. But you know, they always say, Dave, sometimes you've got to lose a final before you win one.
That's
so.
Right.
You know, that was nice, you know, because I've been chasing Wembley my whole career. It was the piece of the puzzle that I hadn't. It was it before, you know, if I'd have started, if you'd have asked me once I left Whitehaven what I would have wanted to win, it would have been a cup.
Yeah.
Would have been a grand final, because for me, the Challenge Cup, it captures you on the BBC, you know, wanting to just win a cup that's so rich and deep in history. You think of all the players and all the Cumbrian teams, Workington Town, and of course winning it back in the, I think, 50s or 60s or whatever it was. And, you know, you just have been trying it so long, and then finally when we got that in 2021 and we won it, it was amazing. And you know, the old players, your James Robies and Paul Wellens and people like that, they always spoke about, you know, having the open top bus through the town and how good it was. And we got to do that with my own eyes. And I swear, Dave, it was like something out of football. It was like flares were going off everywhere. Yeah. And there was thousands and thousands in the streets. And it just, you know, it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So I think that moment was probably the standout. But again, I've been very lucky to, you know, be a part of a special group that had a lot of incredible memories as well. So, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Amazing career. And as I say, you've one last game to play. What one last time to pull the shirt on, put the boots on, and run out, Kyle. And that's, as I say, coming up in a few weeks' time at the LEL. So tell us a little bit about how that clash Cumbria against Wales came about.
Yeah, well, look, obviously, you know, I had that short spell at Widnes. I wasn't planning on playing in the Championship, and John Keir obviously presented me with an opportunity to play there. You know, kind of, you know, we, you know, said he'd look, which he did, said look after me. And obviously, I'm, you know, 36 now, and you know, would let me continue doing my media career as well. And you know, I'd left full time Super League doing training in high school, so I had an awful lot on at one time. I had running my testimonial, playing part time rugby, doing a PGCE in high school teaching, and the media. So I'd almost bitten off too much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I couldn't.
Yeah.
I thought I'd cope with it, but to be honest, when you come to the end of a career that you never wanna let go, it's very, very
Absolutely.
Difficult to deal with. And for me, my sort of reaction was to keep myself that busy where I didn't have time to sit in my own self pity about never being able to play elite level rugby anymore. So I immersed myself in all these different jobs, and in the end it was impacting on my family's life. You know, they weren't seeing the best version of me because I was here, there and everywhere. And, you know, while I took that mantle on, in, you know, being sort of dad and the husband in my house, that, you know, I'll sort it all out, it'll all be fine. It got to about 10 games in and I wasn't coping with it very well at all. So I had to just go and walk away from my contract. I kept sort of addressing and you know, this wasn't a quick decision. I kept sort of going back round and round and asking myself, why was I still playing? Do you know why? You know, I didn't feel. I felt that the was at the bottom. My priority.
I think they've lost Kyle.
First sort of Wakefield, the one who had some belief that I could get back up to them. I won the player of the year at Whitehaven. Now, have you got me?
Yeah, you're back now, mate. You're back now.
Oh, I'm not too sure where I dropped out there. But yeah, obviously I'd won the young competitions player of the year in the Championship level and signed for Leeds Rhinos and then very quickly realised the enormity of it was to kick on and play Super League. So I ended up going on loan to Wakefield, and John Keir just gave me that confidence, belief, and just made me feel 100 foot tall. And I was able to play 80 games at Wakefield then before I got my chance to go back to the top with St. Helens. So,
yeah.
You know, John agreed for be part of my testimonial and bring a Welsh side up. The game was originally going to be the week after the grand final, Dave. But what happened was the international calendar got released. And that day, Wales was supposed to be playing France in France as they prepared for the rugby, the 2025 World Cup.
Right.
So we had to move it forward. We had to move it forward to the day that it is now, Friday the 13th of October. And just as we announced that in classic rugby league fashion, they gone and cancelled the World Cup and the international calendar. So I thought, I can't move it back. It'll just be too confusing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyhow, so John Key has got a side that's coming up on Friday the 13th. And look, I can't wait. I put the messages around, you know, Whitehaven, Workington, Barrow, and all the Super League boys, and I've got 37 players who put their hand up. 37 players want to come and play for Cumbria Rugby League, which I think is incredible. It is the best squad that we'll have had. We've got six Super League players in there, a couple of top-end championship players in there too, and the rest are made up of the good championship players in Barrow and Whitehaven, of course, and the ones from League One there. So, again, there's a few reasons why I'm hugely passionate about Cumbria Rugby League, and I know it doesn't sit right with everybody, but I think it's not a question of if it'll happen, it's when it'll happen. And it's the dreaded word that some fans of a certain generation don't want to hear about the merger of Whitehaven and Workington. I think if we actually take off our glasses there, it's not the right word. If we think about the growth of the game and the development of the game, and if we think about what does the game have to look like going forward, you know, you look at that Cumbria squad that were announced in that on Wednesday, and you tell me that squad couldn't run in a championship and probably go on and win it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, what do we want? What do we want for our clubs, really? Do we want to just keep treading water, surviving, bankrolling, crying out to fans that we need money? Like, in the end, that I believe that the ice is thin, and the next time it breaks, it's going to be incredibly difficult in this current climate to resurface from that. Now, again, there's a lot more logistics involved. I understand the motivation factor for kids to want to get into elite sport. Right now, Dave, the harsh reality is that it's not attractive to go and play for Whitehaven or Workington at the moment in time. It's not. It's not when I was a kid and Whitehaven were challenging in grand finals. That was, you felt amazing. Tracksuit on as a young and whatnot, and at this moment in time, it's just not attractive for these amateur players to go play there. Now, for me, when you see St. Helens come to town and you get 6,500, when you see Jamaica come to town last year and you get 4,000, when I drive up there and I see amateur players and amateur fans in their club's colours, NRL and Super League gear, it tells me there's an appetite for the game up there. The crowd figures don't lie. But, you know, we have to try and make that where we have to want to be part of a brand. I think capturing the dreams of young players. Like, I mean this in the right way, and I've said this before. A lot of my friends work at Sellafield, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. In fact, you know, many players don't want to play professional because they could probably earn more money in Sellafield. I understand that as well.
Yeah.
But I don't believe a 14-year-old kid sits in class dreaming about being a welder. I don't. Do you know what I mean? I think if we had a United Cumbrian side with a scholarship, with a pathway, with an opportunity to and compete at the top of championship and get into Super League, that's where it starts. That's what it's about. Our job as players is to provide and inspire the next generation, whether we like it or not. It's as simple as that. We want to play and look after our own families, and I get all that as well, but we don't own the game as current players. We're just custodians of it. We don't own the jersey that we wear. We're just borrowing it. We're borrowing it, and we have to leave it in a better place. And I really do believe that.
Yeah, true.
And I just think and feel that I don't know about you, Dave. It must be tiring living up there as a fan, going round and round in the same circles and making the same mistakes. Do you know what I mean?
Well, the game in the county is definitely struggling. You know, there's all host of reasons for that. But one of the things that will give it a boost would be a top-notch professional franchise.
Because, Dave, anybody, you look at any sport or any business, you want to be around success, don't they? You know, every sport, every business wants to be around success. If the team plays well, the crowd figures come back. They just do, you know. You look at, again, St. Helens in town, you look at you know, Jamaica. Every time Cumbria's played, we've had a crowd of 3,000, 4,000.
Yes.
You know, when a Super League side comes to town and a kid's playing, I mean, you know, and let's say we got to a stage where West Cumbria or Cumbrian Rugby League, whatever it is, got to a stage where, you know, with IMG coming in and looking at areas rather than town, like, you know, if, instead of out of two ponds, instead of trying to recruit two teams out of 55 players, imagine the side you could recruit and the competition you could make for places if you just had one.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no, no. I mean, yeah. That's undisputable. As I say, the grassroots game is definitely not.
Well, it goes hand in hand, Dave, doesn't it?
The grassroots game in West Cumbria can't sustain two successful professional clubs as it stands. There just isn't the players there. So yeah,
there's not even the players at that level. There's not even the players at that level, though.
Yeah, yeah, true.
You know, you look at what's happening. So Whitehaven, when they lose some of their best players, what's coming through next isn't up to it.
No.
It's just not at the moment in time. It's not because, and that's what I mean. If you combine the two sides together, you've got competition for places. You've genuinely got, you know, and if you get selected, it actually means, you know, whether we like it or not, again, players, because I've run very, very top of the game, were like dogs where, you know, everybody wants to be told that they're brilliant, by coaches, by fans, by teammates, you know, and that comes by being selected week in, week out in a bloody tough.
Yes. Yes.
If you just almost get a token jersey because there's no other players, well, what does that mean?
Got to agree. Yeah. Really have.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it doesn't
sit right with everyone. I understand that. I get it. But a lot of sport is moving on. You know, I'll use here. There was uproar when the St. Helens moved from Knowsley Road. Oh, the history, this, that. There's still 15,000 go every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. As I say, you know, nothing ever stays the same. Things evolve. No, well, the situation and as you say, we've got to accept the change and go with the change. Look,
I'm talking with my heart on my sleeve here. There's business about this as well. It's not as easy as me saying this is why it should happen. Blah de blah de blah. That is lazy from me. But it's not. It's what I believe. Now, obviously, there's a business element of this. How does the business run? How does it work? How does it? But I know fine well. Look, I've recruited a shirt that sold really, really well up there. Yes. We sold over 500 shirts. Right? Yes. They are all Cumbrian-based or Cumbrian-owned businesses. Yeah. Whether they live away, they were born and bred in Cumbria. Now, yeah. I've recruited that shirt sponsor. So there is businesses out there that will pay money to be a part of Cumbria. Because we're tribal people. We're proud to be Cumbrian. You go on holiday, where are you from? Cumbria. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're proud to be Cumbrian people. So, look, I just hope that this game... Obviously, look, there's a couple of points to this. This game will help Whitehaven, right? This game will help Whitehaven in terms of what they'll sell, Barstales, etc.
Yeah.
You know, the money that they'll make, if we get a decent crowd, the money that we'll make will tie this club over until probably February. You know, it'll give the club a nice little off-season, basically. And obviously, look, it's my testimonial, you know, whether you're supporting Cumbria Rugby League, myself or Whitehaven, all we're saying is, you know, at the end of that Jamaica game when all of the kids were on the field, at the end of St. Helens game when all the kids were on the field, the lads at St. Helens couldn't believe what it was like. I've always said that West Cumbria is like the Papua New Guinea of England. Like, the people up there, they absolutely love the rugby league. Yeah. You know, and the kids on that's what it's all about. So we just want to create a game where we can get all the Cumbrian boys all playing together as well. celebrate Cumbria. And for me, if we can go off the back of last year's success, build on it again, why not make it something where we have it every 2 years or every year, dare I say?
Why not?
And give something, give something that we can all get behind for a one-off game. And also as well, going forward, if we carry on this Cumbrian brand and this Cumbrian game, that if we ever did have to get to ourselves to a stage where we were into a merger discussion, well, it'll soften that blow because you'll see what it looks like every year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Great stuff. Yeah. Okay then. Yeah. I mean, some really, what's the word?
Honest.
Loud.
Honest.
Points. Honest, yeah, realistic. And as I said, definitely food for thought there, Kyle. So, the game's coming up in a few weeks. Tickets are now on sale, I believe, yeah?
They are. They're on sale. You can even get them at Sports Zone in Whitehaven from Paul. Or you can, Dave, I'll send you the link if you can put it on with this podcast when you send it out.
I'll do
There's
that.
A link via Skiddle where you can get them on there. And it's as simple as open the link, click your ticket, and then you can just Apple Pay on your phone. It's as easy as that. On the night, obviously, because Whitehaven's got some limited access getting in there, we'll have tickets with the QR code that you get sent, or the physical tickets, a cash and a card turnstile. So it'll be as easy as that. So we're just sort of urging people to get tickets because it'll make their entry into the game much, much smoother rather than queuing up, waiting for card machines and changing cash and whatnot. So if you can, those early bird prices, they are going to run up until Tuesday before the game. After that, they'll be up to full price on those tickets, Dave. So we urge people to get them bought, get down, support myself, support the testimonial, support Cumbria, support Whitehaven, or just come and watch some decent rugby league by a load of people who are from the area. So it's as easy as that, Dave.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. As I say, it promises to be, and as I say, building on what's gone before, as I say, last year and before that, I'm sure Cumbria versus Wales is going to be a great night for Cumbrian Rugby League, a good way to mark your testimonial, a well-earned testimonial, Kyle. So thanks for everything. Thanks for your contribution. We look forward to though, but it's by no means the end. It's just go off in a different direction. I'm sure we look forward to seeing you on Channel 4 or whoever the broadcast company is in the future. And just thanks for joining us today. All the best. Hope everything goes well on the 13th. And thank you, Carl. All the very best to you, mate. Thank you.